Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 1 October 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God first of all this evening to Luke. See, you're not there. You all think you know where you're supposed to go. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. We'll be in 2 Corinthians 8 in this great two chapters on grace giving. But first of all, Luke 23. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Tom Gilbreth, who has taken over for Hal Lindsey, and since Hal Lindsey's in heaven, had an article entitled Kimmel's Choice. Since that awful day when an assassin shot Charlie Kirk, amazing things have happened. Things most of us could not have foreseen. The act of remembering Charlie pointed people to Jesus Christ in countless ways. It came to a head during the memorial service when Charlie's widow, Erica Kirk, said, "That man, that young man, I forgive him." Now, it's very likely that Erica Kirk and Charlie were both spiritually mature believers. It's very likely that they both had fulfilled the ultimate objective and had virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. And as a result of that, their personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ motivates the winner believer to have impersonal love for all, even the scum of the earth. Now, I had you turn to Luke 23. For Erica Kirk has a role model. And the role model is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Who is he asking the Father to forgive? The scum of the earth. The scum. And Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ had infinite, perfect virtue love. It was his personal love for God the Father that motivated him to willingly go to the cross. And that's the greatest illustration of grace giving in the universe. Jesus Christ giving himself willingly on the cross for the scum of the world, solving their, paying the penalty for their sins. So what we heard from Erica Kirk is what she has learned in growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And she has fulfilled the ultimate objective of having virtue love brought to completion in her heart. And that's what motivated her to have impersonal love for the man who assassinated her husband. And she said, that man, I forgive him. But who was she following? The Lord Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was saying that to the scum who had him crucified on the cross. That's the spiritually mature believer only has that. Tim Allen wrote on X, that moment deeply affected me. I have struggled for over 60 years to forgive the man who killed my dad. I will say those words now as I type, I forgive the man who killed my father. But saying the words, he hasn't been able to do that for 60 years. Only the winner believer, only the spiritually mature believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart can say that and mean it. And what motivates the winner believer to say, I forgive the scum of the world? Their motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father. You have to know God to love God. And the winner believer knows God. Because the winner believer knows God, the winner believer loves God. And that motivates him to have impersonal love for all. And that includes the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we have more bad and ugly in our nation today than ever before. And then he goes on, he says, an ex-Muslim woman raised in Iran, Sana Ibrahimi, wrote on X about the service. In Islam, and she is an unbeliever, she doesn't know anything about Christianity. She's an unbeliever. She said, in Islam, even though we believe that good people go to heaven, I got news for you. Most good people are going to hell, the lake of fire. And most of the good people in Iran are going to hell. the lake of fire. And that is a false gospel. A false gospel of salvation by works. And so she says, even though we believe that good people go to heaven, the relationship with God is taught through fear. Funerals are overwhelmingly sad, often filled with warnings of the terrifying first night in the grave. Growing up, hearing that, and then witnessing at that memorial service, witnessing people celebrate life and speak of God's love and remember someone through the impact that he had on others, it was so refreshing to see that. She wrote specifically about Erica Kirk's forgiveness of her husband's murderer. Sana, the gal from Iran, ended her remarkable post by saying, "I'm ignorant when it comes to Christianity." She doesn't know anything about Christianity. She knows nothing about Jesus Christ. "But if this is what it truly embodies, then I am envious of those who get to experience that feeling." May remembering this service spur her and others to investigate Christianity. From the Bible, they will learn that Jesus Christ offers grace and joy and freedom. After Disney ABC's brief suspension of Jimmy Kimmel, he came back on the air to the largest audience his late night show had ever had. He did not apologize for lying about the politics of the young man who shot Charlie, and he took pot shots at political adversaries. But he also said this. There was a moment over the weekend, a very beautiful moment. I don't know if you saw this on Sunday. Erica Kirk forgave the man who shot her husband. She forgave him. That is an example we should follow. Well, you see, no one can follow that example unless you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and have attained the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You'll never, ever follow. That's an example we should follow. But it's only something the winner believer can follow. If you believe in the teachings of Jesus as I do, there it was. That's it. A selfless act of grace, forgiveness from a grieving widow. It touched me deeply, and I hope it touches many. And if there's anything we should take from this tragedy to carry forward, I hope it can be that. Now, to say you believe in the teachings of Jesus, that does not mean you believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. If you really want the essence of his teachings, it's this. It's Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me, Jesus Christ. That's all about Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should never perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That's all about Jesus Christ. That's all about him. When people say they believe the teachings of Jesus, they usually mean a set of vague ideas that they picked up over the years. The grace gospel passages in the Word of God are all about Jesus Christ. They're all about him. It's about him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that gives us a glimpse of how far we fall short of God's grace, and therefore of our need for a Savior. Need for a Savior. And there's only one Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. Because without him, we are totally helpless to do what he says or what we know in our hearts we should do. It's about Jesus Christ because we totally fail, but he saves. So that's why I wanted you to turn to Luke 23. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's very likely Erica Kirk and Charlie were spiritually mature believers, had virtue love brought to completion in their heart, and therefore they were motivated out of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ to have real, true, impersonal love, the functional virtue, impersonal love for all, including the scum of the earth. All right. Well, we are in two chapters, the greatest chapters in the Word of God that teach the doctrine of grace giving. And most believers don't have a clue as to what grace giving is. Even so-called doctrinal believers, many of them don't have a clue as to what grace giving really is. And so the Apostle Paul is spending two entire chapters to define it, explain it in great, great detail. We saw two of the greatest illustrations of grace giving in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 and 9. In verse 8, the first illustration were the Macedonian believers. I absolutely am not declaring this as a command, but through the earnestness of others, the Macedonians, as an illustration of grace giving, and to test for approval the genuineness of your virtue love, your impersonal love for all in grace giving. That's the key to grace giving. And then verse 9, the greatest illustration in the universe of grace giving and impersonal love for all. For you have come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, eternal Son of God, yet for your sake he became poor. Grace giving. What motivated that grace giving? His impersonal love for the whole world. For your sake, he became poor. He went to the cross willingly to pay the penalty for the sins of the world, for the purpose that you, by means of his extreme poverty, his great illustration of grace giving and impersonal love for all, might become rich, eternal salvation by faith in Christ. Now in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10, all the way through to chapter 9, verse 5, we have Paul's advice and arrangement for the collection of their grace giving. Paul offers a brief rationale for the collection and an explanation of how it should be handled. There have to be administrators. And then in 2 Corinthians 8, 10 through 12, we have Paul's advice to the Corinthians. Finish what you started. In verse 10, and I am giving my opinion in this matter. Now that's very important. Paul is not giving an order. He's not giving advice based on, he is giving advice based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. But the Apostle Paul is not demanding, that they give. Grace giving must always be a matter of your volition, your free will. You can never demand someone to give. Grace giving is a spiritual sacrifice that you offer from your royal priesthood. We saw that in Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Grace giving always reflects the character and the virtue of the one who gives. And I am giving my opinion in this matter based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. For this, grace giving is blessing for you. Now that's quite a principle right there. This grace giving is blessing for you. The key word here is sumphero. S-U-M-P-H-E-R, long O, sumphero. Now, sumphero means to help, and we have the personal pronoun su, so it means to help you. This will help you. This will confer blessing to you. This will be advantageous for you. This will be profitable for you. And here's the principle that Paul is teaching. When you give in grace, God always resupplies in grace. In other words, grace giving always results in grace blessing for the one who gives. Grace giving always results in grace blessing for the one who gives. Now, he's going to pick this principle up in chapter 9, and you can turn over to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul is going to amplify on what he's saying right here with sumphero su. It will be a blessing for you. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, the Apostle Paul in verse 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, when the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he is thinking about what he has totally understands in Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. As Paul writes 2 Corinthians 9, God the Holy Spirit is bringing to his mind Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, which says, one man gives freely, and yet he gains even more grace blessings. Another withholds unduly, but he comes to poverty. That's the person who has no idea what grace giving is. Not at all. He's a stingy jackass. And he doesn't know, he wouldn't know grace giving if it came up and kissed him. One man gives freely and yet gains even more. Great blessing from God. Another withholds. Is stingy, does not give. He doesn't understand grace giving unduly. He comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And the Apostle Paul is thinking about Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 as he writes 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. So back to 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all sufficiency, you will abound in every good work, and in our context, grace giving. Second Corinthians 9, verse 10. Sounds like this. And I am giving my opinion in this matter based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. For this, that is the completion of this grace giving, is to your advantage. Grace blessing for you, who are of such a quality not only to do, but also to desire. That which you began a year ago. Now there's two words here. There's poieo and thelo. You are of such a quality as to be able to handle this doctrine of grace giving. And then we have poieo, who are of such a quality, not only to poieo, to do, but also to thelo. And that means you want to give. You desire to give. You wish to give. That's thelo. So you're not only poieoing, giving, but you're theloing. You want to give. You desire to give. The believer with maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation always has the desire in his heart to give in grace. His desire to fulfill the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving expresses his impersonal love for all. The key to grace giving is impersonal love for all. The key here is not only to do, but to desire, to want to do. And now in verse 11, we have the Apostle Paul's advice. But now, finish the doing of your grace giving. But now finish the doing of your grace giving also. that as there was a readiness to will, that's the King James thundering diction of the King James, we have the conjunction hapos plus the conjunction kathoper. That sounds like a rabbit. Conjunction hapos plus the conjunction kathoper plus prothumia with the definite article plus the articular present active infinitive of thelo once again. Hapos. Looks like that in the Greek, H-O-P, long O-S, hapos. Hapos is a conjunction that introduces a purpose clause. And so you can translate it in order that or for the purpose that. And then we have kathoper. Looks like that in the Greek, K. K-A-T-H-A-P-E-R, kathoper. And kathoper is a conjunction that is correctly translated just as, for the purpose that just as, and then we have prothumia. We're going to have this a couple of times, prothumia. P-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A, prothumia. And prothumia means willingness and readiness. Willingness and readiness. In other words, prothumia is a deep desire in your soul, in your heart, a deep desire which becomes motivation for grace giving. The articular infinitive of thelo is once again substantival. It functions as the noun, and this is the desire to give. So corrected translation. But now, Paul says, finish the doing of your grace giving. Also, in order that just as there was willingness, the willingness to desire to give. Just as there was the willingness and readiness to desire to give. So there might be a performance also out of that which ye have. That's the King James. We have the adverb houtos plus the conjunction kai plus the articular aorist active infinitive of epiteleo, repeated, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the articular present active infinitive of echo. So what we have here, this phrase starts with houtos kai. So the first clause, we had kathoper. Then the second clause, we have houtos kai. So, kathoper, just as, oops, I'm getting ahead of myself there. Just as, houtos kai, so also. So we have kathoper, just as. That's the first clause, second clause, houtos kai, so also. Just as, so also. And then we have our verb epiteleo. This is repeated. We've had this earlier. That's E-P-I-T-E-L-E long O. Epiteleo. And once again, epiteleo means to finish something. To finish something. to complete something, to accomplish something. This time we have the articular infinitive of epiteleo, and the articular infinitive is substantival. That means it functions as a noun, and it should be correctly translated the completion, or the finishing, or the accomplishing. This is the completion of your grace giving. And then we have the preposition ek. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. In Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 235, tells us that in our verse, ek puts the spotlight on the underlying rule or principle, and therefore it should be correctly translated according to or in accordance with. And the object of the preposition ek is the articular infinitive of our verb echo. And we've had this many times. Echo, E-C-H, long O. And echo means to have and to hold. It means to possess. The articular infinitive of echo is substantival. It also functions as a noun. And therefore, it is correctly translated what you have, what you possess, or your ability. So, now verse 11 in corrected translation. But now, finish the doing of your grace giving also, in order that just as there was the willingness and readiness to desire to give, so also there may be the completion of your grace giving in accordance with what you have, in accordance with your ability. All right, let me give you that again. This is very, make sure you get this right. But now finish the doing of your grace giving also, in order that just as there was the willingness and readiness to desire to give, so also there may be the completion of your grace giving in accordance with what you have or your ability. All right, you got that? Okay, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, this is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the conditional particle ae plus our noun prothumia repeated with a definite article plus the present middle indicative of prokemi. Now the conjunction gar. When I was at Dallas Seminary, I had excellent, excellent Greek professors. And they went over and over how important these conjunctions, postpositive conjunctions like gar, how important they are in the translation of a passage. And we spent a lot of time learning about these conjunctions, post-positive conjunction gar, post-positive conjunction de. We studied these in great detail. And here gar is the explanatory use of gar and is correctly translated, that is, or for example. And we're going to translate it for example. Explanatory use of gar, for example. And then we have the conditional particle ae. Looks like that in the Greek and English. And it literally translated if. The key is, what is it introducing? First class condition, second class condition, third class condition, fourth class condition. Here, A introduces a third class condition. Maybe the willingness and readiness to give in grace is present, and then maybe it's not. Once again, we have our word prothumia, which means willingness, readiness, and then we have the verb prokemai. Prokemai, P-R-O-K-E-I-M-A-I. Prokemai. And one, prokemai means to be present. To be present. Two, with prothumia, it means if the willingness is present. If the readiness is present. So prokemai with prothumia, if the willingness is present, if the readiness is present. Three, this willingness and readiness is present in your soul. Willingness and readiness in your mental attitude to give in grace giving. To give in grace giving. It's present in your soul when you have maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation in your heart. So corrected translation. For example, if the readiness and willingness is present, third class condition, maybe it is present and maybe it is not present. And then we have, it is accepted according to that which a man hath. Do you hath or do you hath not? This is the adverb katho plus the conditional particle aeon plus the present active subjunctive of echo plus eo pros dektas. That sounds like a humdinger, huh? El pros dektos. We got three different triple compound words. El, that's first, E-U. Preposition pros, P-R-O-S. And then dektos, D-E-K-T-O-S. So El pros dektos. This is a triple compound word made up of el, which means good or well. Pros means face to face with. And the verbal adjective dektos means acceptable or welcome. So literally, el pros dektos means acceptable, pleasing, or well pleasing because of el, you. Well-pleasing or welcome. The conditional particle aeon plus the subjunctive of echo introduces another third-class condition. If he has funds, if he possesses funds. Echo means to have, to hold, to possess. The third-class condition, well, maybe you do have the money to give. Now, the Corinthians had lots and lots of money. That wasn't the issue. It was their mental attitude. They had no mental attitude of virtue love. They had no virtue love in their heart. They had no maximum grace orientation, no maximum doctrinal orientation. They had lots of money. The money wasn't the issue. They had no virtue love in their heart. Very few. But as a result of Paul's continuing teaching and teaching and teaching, they're starting to get the hang of it. So third class condition, maybe you do have the money to give, and they do have the money. That's not the issue. And maybe you don't. The adverb katho K-A-T-H-O, katho. Now, katho is a term that has been formed by Crassus. Crassus. This is a great illustration of Crassus. We have the preposition kata plus the neuter of the relative pronoun host, and the neuter is ha. So we have kata and ha, and when you put those two together, you get katho. So it's formed by Crassus. According to what you have. Katho, according to what you have. So, corrected translation. For example, if the readiness and willingness is present, third class condition, maybe it is present, maybe it is not, it, grace giving, is acceptable according to what you have. And then the last phrase, and not according to that which he hath not. We have the objective negative u with the adverb katho again, repeated, plus the objective negative uk with the present active indicative of echo, repeated. The objective negative u slams the door. Absolutely not. Absolutely not, adverb katho, absolutely not according to what, and then echo with the objective negative u, you do not have, you do not possess. So now we have the verse completed. For example, if the readiness and willingness is present, now third class condition, maybe it is present, maybe it is not. It, grace giving, is acceptable, well pleasing, according to what you have, not according to what you do not have. All right. So, indeed, Paul, nobody understands grace giving more than the Apostle Paul, and he is defining it better than it's ever been defined in the entire Word of God in these two chapters. So, one, the believer with grace orientation and doctrinal orientation in his soul, that believer has the right mental attitude for grace giving. Because the key to grace giving is what's going on in here, in your heart, in your thinking. And I've been here for a long time. I've been here about 500 years, just about. And I tell you, I can spot when there's nothing in here, no grace orientation, doctrinal orientation in here. And it's so obvious. And for the first few years, I even stopped. When we had the offering, I would tell. I saw what the problem was. They didn't know what grace giving was. This church did not know what grace giving was. And these were so-called doctrinal believers. Boy, strain my vocal cords. Got to take care of these babies. So I told them right up front before we took the offering, if you don't understand grace giving, then hang on to your money. Don't put one penny in the offering when it comes by. You're not here to give. You're here to learn doctrine. You're here to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You're not here to give. So hang on to your money. It's so important. Hang on. You have no mental attitude for grace giving. You're here to learn doctrine. And for years, I would always start out in that first. And I had many of them, some of them were wanting to, came up and asked, can I tithe? And I go, oh Lord. You know, I have to laugh a little bit. Can I tithe? It's like, you're not paying enough taxes already? Tithing has nothing to do with grace giving. Nothing to do. And I'll tell you, you're not here to give. You need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You need doctrine, 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 doctrine. And you need to grow up. You need to attain spiritual maturity and develop, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. When that happens, why, you will have the greatest mental attitude. And no matter what you have by way of finances, that's a non-issue. What you have, whether you have money or don't have money, that's a non-issue. You give in here. And if you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you want to give. You want to give. You desire to give in grace. You want to operate under grace giving. And if you don't have the funds, no, you are giving anyway. That believer is giving every time because of the fantastic mental attitude in the soul. It's what goes on in your heart. You give up here. Give up here. I don't care if you put anything in the offering bag or not. That's a non-issue. If you have the means, you will. The winner believer will with they have the means. If they don't have the means, they won't. Then no big deal. You've already given in your heart. That's all that counts. So the believer with grace orientation and doctrinal orientation in his soul has the right mental attitude for grace giving. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You don't have the right mental attitude for grace giving. Two, this believer has fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18 to grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, point three, this believer has the willingness and the readiness for grace giving. This believer has the willingness and readiness for grace giving. Four, it makes no difference if he has money or doesn't have money. With his ready and willing mental attitude to give, he's already given. It makes no difference if he has money or he doesn't have money. With his willing and ready mental attitude to give, he has already given. Five, the issue in grace giving is what is going on in your mental attitude, your soul. Not what you put in the offering bag. Now, we have an offering bag, not a plate. Offering bag. Ask Gary Brown. He's taken several of those offering bags and gone on vacation. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we have deacons who are administrators. I don't have anything to do with the money. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have deacons who are administrators. They are men of virtue, honor, and integrity, and they handle the money that are given. That's their responsibility, and they do a fantastic job because they are winner believers. They have maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. And so they handle the money. I don't have one iota to do with the money. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't count it. I don't see how much was there. Anything. Now we have a deacon's meeting once a month, and then I get to look at the poop sheet, and brings me up to snuff.
Snuff. That's lousy stuff. That's snuff. I don't know how that, where that came from. Come bring you up to snuff. I don't want to be brought up to snuff, you know. So it makes no difference if he has money or he doesn't have money. With his willingness and readiness of a mental attitude to give, he has already given. 5. The issue in grace giving is what is going on in your mental attitude, not what you put in the offering bag. What's going on in your mental attitude? 6. It's the soul that counts in grace giving. It's the soul that counts in grace giving. Seven, it is a mental attitude of desiring to give from grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. That is grace giving, not the money that you put in the offering. It is a mental attitude of desiring, willingness, readiness to give from grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. That's grace giving. Not the money you put in the offering. Now, if you have just enough money to pay your bills and feed the family, then you pay the bills and feed the family. That's what you are commanded to do. Turn over to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. In the King James it says infidel. I like that word, infidel. I saw you're worse than an infidel. What's that? Look it up. Now, if you have a family and you just have enough to pay the bills and provide for your family, then your grace giving is right here. Your grace giving is right here. Now, there are illustrations in the Bible of the widow. She doesn't have a family. The widow with her two mites. They're mites, not two mice. And she put two mites in the offering. And then there were the big mucky mucks who were there. And they were putting in coin. And they were trying to well, what they were putting in. And Jesus Christ straightened them out and said, this widow has given more with those two pennies that she put in than you, the rest of you, with you putting all your coins in. She gave everything she had, 100% all she had. And she had absolute confidence. She knew she was being supported by the grace and power of God every single day as a widow. And she knew if she put in that last two pennies, God would provide for her, and God did provide for her. But she didn't have a family. She was a widow. And that was an illustration of fantastic mental attitude of, first of all, she had given in her soul. It wasn't the amount of what she put in the offering. She put in only two pennies. And Jesus Christ says, she put in more than the rest of you. The rest of you with your big money didn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a damn thing because of what? There's nothing going on in here as far as grace-giving thinking in your heart. It's all done in here in the soul. All right. Boy, I was getting on fire for the Lord there. I haven't had done that for at the first few years I was here, every Sunday, I just straightened everybody out and said, most of you are not here to give. You're here to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You're here to learn the Word of God. You need to learn doctrine, learn doctrine, learn. You're not here to give. So hang on to your money! And I give them orders like that. I had to do that for several years. And usually those people left. Toodaloo. Have a nice trip. But the ones who wanted God's word, they stayed. And they grew up in the grace, the knowledge of Christ. They are the ones who have become winner believers, spiritually mature believers. So I don't have to say that much anymore. Although we've had recently, the tithers have come in, and then I go, oh, here we go again. So we're going to pick it up at verse 13 next Wednesday night with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.